Thank you, Dinah. I would invite you to turn to, in your Bibles, if you haven't already, to Romans 13. How many of you find it difficult at times sitting under the Word of God when the Lord confronts you and you realize you need to change? Do you have a difficult time with that? Preachers do too. Preachers do too. So that's a confession of mine this morning. Let us pray. Father, we are grateful for your word that does confront us because it is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide bone from marrow and the thoughts and intention of the heart. And so we ask that your Holy Spirit would do his surgery today, right there in our hearts, so that we would be more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Any fans of Narnia? See the movies? Pretty good stuff. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Very good. Prince Caspian, the movie. The book too, but the movie. It was done fairly well by the movie makers. Have you seen it? So you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, thank you. Thank you. You're afraid to put your hands up now because I'm going to yell at you and put him down, but... if you haven't seen it, borrow it from somebody, watch it. It's got a lot of good themes in it. What's the major theme of the movie for those of you who have seen it? You knew I was going to do that. That's why you didn't raise your hands. There are a number of themes that run through the movie, but the main one is about authority and rebelling against or living under appropriate authority. It's everywhere in the characters. We see it between Miraz and Caspian, the true ruler, and how he, Miraz, his uncle, usurped authority and how he came to the throne. We see it between Caspian and Peter. The king of old comes to the prince of Narnia and they struggle with each other because who's the authority? We see it between Peter and Edmund. In the beginning of the movie, when Edmund steps in and Peter's fighting and Peter thinks he has it all sorted out and Edmund has to step into the fray to rescue him. And then later in the movie, when Peter is enticed by the White Queen again, Edmund has to step in and he says, yes, I know you had it sorted. It's a struggle with authority. We see it between Trumpkin, the Red Dwarf, and the kings and queens of old when they show up. And specifically between Crumpkin and Lucy when she sees Aslan and he does not believe. We see it between Jadis, the White Queen, and Caspian when she comes back onto the scene and is begging to come back into the world of Narnia. And we see it between Miraz and Sopaspian, one of his generals who eventually stabs him with the arrow and cries out treachery. It's all over the movie. There's a struggle with authority. Why is that? Why is it that that movie was such a good movie? Because we don't realize that when we're watching movies and we're engaged by them, that the things that we struggle with, we identify with in the movie subconsciously to understand, because it's one of our basic problems. If you took a moment and thought about the last 24 hours of your life, could you identify where you struggled with the authority structure over you? Children to parents, graduates to parents, people in charge of the cooking and people doing the cooking? No, that doesn't happen. No, I know that doesn't happen. Husbands to wives, bosses to employees, we struggle with authority. It's a difficult problem. This morning is Memorial Day weekend. You will notice that the title of the sermon is A Tough Road to Hoe. And if you are a grammarian, a grammar Nazi, you know that that's not the saying. The saying is either a tough row to hoe, which comes from agriculture, and that we have to till through the soil, and it's going to be difficult, or a tough road to hold, which is military, and how it is that we gain victory by holding bridges and roads and territory. So the title is confused because we have so much trouble with authority. But, beloved, the way out is by realizing what this passage says to us in understanding that God is the source of all authority. There is no authority on the face of this earth that God is not the source of, because of his very nature and who he is. Even our greatest enemy, the devil, falls underneath the authority of God. In complete rebellion against that authority, and in so facing the condemnation that he faced, and yet still under God's ultimate authority. There is no autonomy anywhere in the created universe, because God is God, and he is the source of all authority. And so when God gives Romans to Paul, and Paul pens it to the people living in the capital of the then known world, soon to face sanctioned persecution, he tells us, after establishing the gospel, which is the power of God for salvation, in 11 chapters, what we can and ought to do. And in chapter 12, we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We are to be transformed and not conformed to the image, to this world, conformity, to the structure that's here, but have our mind transformed so that we may prove that which is good, perfect, and acceptable, the will of God. And then in verses 9 through 21, the laundry list, the checklist, the impossible list, that we could camp on anyone for a long period of time. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another. Not lagging behind in any diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Persevering in tribulation. And on it goes. And then, kind of somewhat out of the blue, but not really, God tells us that we are to be in subjection to the governing authorities. And it doesn't seem to make sense where it's placed. But if we think for a moment about God's call for us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what his will is, understanding that he is the source of all authority, and understanding that we don't want to live here. This world, for the follower of Christ, is not our home. We struggle to be with our Lord, and yet we hold on to life so preciously and so dearly, and rightfully so, that we want to cast off the authority so that we can just go to heaven and be under his authority. We want to cast off the conformity of the world and be transformed in our mind, and so we leave it behind. And God says, no. No. You're there for a reason. And I'm the ultimate authority, and there is no authority except what comes from me. You need to submit to the authority. Every soul, every person. See, God is the source of all authority. And because he is, you and I ought to aim at consistency in our lives. This was the hard one for the preacher today. Aim at consistency in our lives. There's no way to break this down or parse this, if you're an English major, grammarian or whatever, to make it say something that what it doesn't say, because I'm uncomfortable with it, because you're uncomfortable with it. Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. You will notice that God is a very good author, and he does not say You must absolutely obey every authority. What he says is, every soul is to be in subjection. And the word there is what the same term that God uses elsewhere when it says that we are to be subject to one another. Where it says that wives are to be subject to their husbands. Ooh, now I'm meddling. Where he says to us that there is a structure, a hierarchy, an order of ultimate authority that derives from him that we are subordinate to. And he says, with the authorities that are over you, your job is to be subordinate. But our culture yells at us to cast off authority. And I was thinking through some of the songs of old, maybe not so old, and the things that the musicians tell us. And one of my favorite musicians back in the 80s and 90s, Lord knows when she did this song. That was sarcasm, by the way. That was really, I was being very sarcastic. The title of one of her most famous songs as she pranced around on stage was Respect Yourself. You're your own authority. Respect yourself. Woo-hoo! Subjection here is a general acknowledgement of that subordination. And beloved, subordination does often usually lead to obedience to the superior authority. Often. Almost always. Absolutely calls for obedience. It's mostly used in military terms. Memorial Day. When an officer gives you an order, you obey it. How many times have you heard or seen in news stories or whatever, I was only following orders? That's the idea of subjection, and it's correct in this text. We are to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. You see, God is the source. It's not rocket science. It's what it says. But we struggle with it because it confronts us and where we live. That's why authority is the problem. What the Bible assumes and makes so plain, we have to point out in the extreme. I have to repeat it and go, because our culture is a culture of protest. When we don't like something, we gather people around, we come against those who are saying those things, and we protest them. Beloved, we're Protestants. We were born out of protest. It's in our very name. It's the struggle of humanity. This morning, on one of the news outlets, there was a protest in the Kremlin between the church and a group of homosexuals. The police stepped in so that they didn't kill each other. And the Kremlin arrested them. All. Well, 30 of them anyways. Both sides of the fence, because they were unlawfully gathering in protest. That's interesting to me. The ordained authority that they're supposed to be in subjection to, they were protesting and they got arrested for it. To which we say, unfair, we have the right. That wasn't here. It was there. And as believers, the Bible talks to us very clearly about what that is. You see, authority is a regular and daily problem. But subjection derives from understanding the source. As God is the source, you and I aim at consistency in our lives. And as Christians, we are subject to God. We like that when we're in this place. We like that in small doses, to be in subjection to God when he says something. But when God says every person must be in subject to the governing authorities, something happens where we disconnect from it. Well, that can't be. But the Bible goes on to tell us, for there is no authority except from God. Oh my, that's really piling on. and those who exist are established by God. Whew. Therefore, whoever resists authority is opposed, has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. We subject ourselves to God. Therefore, beloved, we, because he is the source, must subject ourselves in all, new word, ways. Always. And that includes the subjection to governing authorities. And so you and I throw it up. We're ready. What about evil authorities? Right? We want to get out from underneath what Scripture tells us to do. It confronts us and we don't like it, so we say, what about evil authorities? We shouldn't be in subjection to them. Wrong. What? Did he really just say that? Well, we misunderstand the text. The authority of the state, of the evil authority even, is a derived authority, not an absolute authority. They have been established by God. It is no mistake that the people in charge are in charge. Yes, we voted for them. Yes, we gave them the job. Yeah, whatever it is. Yes, we were. They might have got hired at school to do whatever principal, but we elected the board that said them. We elected Tanner. That's not a mistake. It wasn't, was it? We elected Nathan. That wasn't a mistake. Brother, do I need to apologize to you? Are we okay? No, I know. I got in on a family joke last night. I'm going to use it on a regular basis, but not from the pulpit, but that's really cool. It's not a mistake that we elected Dennis or anybody else that we elect to office. That's ordained by God. They are the authority. They make the decisions. Our job is to subject ourselves to it. Is our school board evil? Is it an evil authority? Is our town council an evil authority? Is our state legislature an evil? Oh, now you're messing it. And those of you who know me and we talk about this stuff, you understand why this is difficult for me. And I understand why this is difficult for you. We need God desperately. But their authority of the state is a derived authority. It's not absolute. That authority must always be respected. That's subjection. It must always be respected. And yet, uncritical obedience to an authority that is overstepping its bounds and its derived authority is impossible. But that's not what Paul's talking about here. He's talking about generally our attitude towards authority. Because God knows that if we can't respect the authority on this plane and in this world, we don't really respect his authority. We're not really in subjection to what he's done. For therefore, whoever resists authority is opposed the ordinance of God, and they who oppose will receive condemnation upon themselves. It's true. Paul's point is not the idea of what do we do about an evil authority. So, we will deal with that, but we got to come back to this text. The Bible does illustrate and teach us to obey God when man in his authority tells us to disobey. There are laws and lawmakers who tell us to do things that violate clear principles of Scripture. And beloved, paying taxes is not one of them. There are other things. And if you have a study Bible, it's probably in your notes. It's not difficult stuff. A good Bible study Bible will have them in there. Back in the days of Moses, Pharaoh said, there's too many Israelites in Goshen. They said to the midwives, when there's a boy being born, kill it. When they're on the birth stool, destroy that child, let the girls live. So the girls continue to be slaves and work, but the men won't ever overpower us. The midwives knew that that was a violation of God and life and said, no, we're not going to do that. And they didn't. And Moses didn't die. And God raised up a deliverer out of their disobedience to an authority that had overstepped its boundaries. because it said to do something that was in clear violation of the ultimate authority. God is the source and ultimate authority of all things. Another one is in Daniel. Daniel, it's all over Daniel. It's everywhere. But specifically, the one in study Bibles is probably Daniel in the lion's den. You remember how he got there? The people that wanted him dead made a law with the king of Babylon and said, if anybody prays to anybody but you, they get thrown in the lion's den. And Daniel's praying. And Daniel went upstairs and he opened his windows and he knelt and prayed toward Jerusalem. And we got him. And the king was very furious, not at Daniel, but at the guys that said, do the thing. So they threw Daniel in. And Daniel didn't die. But you see, that was a consequence of the law. When you break the law, even when you follow the law of God, when you break the law of man, you will suffer the consequences of it. You see that? That's why government is, and you got to be able to take your lumps under the ultimate authority of God. Peter was preaching the gospel, and he was brought before the leaders of the community, the religious leaders, and they said, you got to stop preaching in this name. And Peter said in Acts chapter 4, listen, whether it's right for us to obey you or God, we're not going to stop talking. You decide for yourselves. You be the judge. As for us, we're going to go preach the gospel. They sternly warned them and then released them. Later, they put them in prison and later they killed them. But Peter said, I'm not going to stop preaching the gospel no matter what you say, because that's in clear violation of the ultimate authority of God that says go. But I recognize that you're an authority and we'll take the consequences and respect you in doing it. That's a tough road to hoe. But it's the truth. However, coming back to the point, Romans teaches the same thing as those exceptions, the biblical idea that God is the ultimate authority. When we subject ourselves to the authorities around us, the governing authorities, we are subjecting ourselves to God because he tells us to do that. That's his point. God is the source of all authority. But there are legal consequences. There can be. And so, beloved, we might very soon face it here. In Canada, on the books are laws against preaching on certain parts of the Bible. It's a hate crime to do so. That legislation has been attempted to be passed in our nation and has failed up to this point. Beloved, when the government tells me I can't preach on a certain text of the Bible, do you know where I'm going the very next Sunday? And there are gentlemen who sit in this congregation. They're not here today, so I can say this freely. I don't see any of them here today. Who work for the government and take away lawbreakers. And I understand that, and so do they. But I respect their authority, and I will subject myself to whatever comes. However, that's not quite yet. Maybe someday. There was a law that was passed recently in which, so far, religious institutions do not have to abide by because of their faith. So far. It was an amendment to the law in our state capitol. And it has to deal, I'm not telling you any secrets, with same-gender marriages. Which, according to the marriage policy of this church, we will not do. And so far, the law says I don't have to. So far. But it will be legally challenged, beloved. I guarantee it. And I do not know how it will turn out. Are we willing and ready to subject ourselves to the authority, definitely get legal counsel, and spend our hard-earned money in defending the gospel and our policy? I've even gotten something from the EFCA. The home office, the head office, has given us something so that we have a policy in place that will be legally acceptable when we do go to court. We don't ignore what's going on, But there will be legal consequences to standing up for the authority, under the authority of Almighty God. What about an evil authority? Yep, I get it, but it's not an excuse to not subject ourselves to them. How it is that we approach and interact with and protest and disobey bad law is what the scripture addresses. In that we are subjecting ourselves to God. We need to aim at consistency because He is the source of all authority. Have I made myself clear? I know, but it's not easy because I'm a conservative. I'm a little left of Attila the Hun in my personality. Really, it's not easy. And I know that I've been up here before and that individuals who happen to be of a different political stripe think that I'm being political when I don't intend to be, just because I don't agree. So something I've done or said has I'm not going to say that it was misperceived. It was miscommunicated as disrespectful to the ordained authorities. This is where we live. Last week, I took you all on Who Have Ink. Remember that one? Yeah, that went over great. You notice how many seats are empty this morning. No, I'm only kidding. It's Memorial Day. Okay, so if they're not back in like 2 weeks, then I'll call them and see if I got to go make a visit. And that's only the first two verses of this section. Keep reading with me. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior. Oh, man, is that where we live? Not particularly. They call evil good and good evil. I don't know what to do with that. I know I need to subject myself to them. Do you want to have no fear of authority? No, I wouldn't want that either. There's no such thing as anarchy and chaos. And when we do have it, people just watch by as people are murdered on the streets. It's just crazy. Do what is good and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. Whoa, really? Are you serious, Lord? Did you just say that? But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God. For it is a minister of God. I don't know what God is doing, but I do know, well, I have an idea. I do know that the governing authorities are ministers of His. Whether they are in full and open rebellion to Him, they are not outside of His good and perfect and pleasing will, and He is the source of all authority. And an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, their wrath and God's, but also for conscience' sake. That's why I have a hard time, beloved, because my conscience is not clear. It's not even clear in the way I talk about our city council or our school board, much less our federal government. So believe me, when I'm pointing the finger, there are three pointing back. See how that works? I get it. Serious repentance and forgiveness needs to be sought by God's people. And engagement to obey God rather than man. For because of this, you also pay taxes. See, the Romans were paying their taxes. It doesn't say that we don't have to pay confiscatory taxes. It says we need to pay taxes, period. For rulers are servants of God. There it is again, ministers of God. That's why we pay taxes. Is that how you look at the way you pay taxes? I got hammered a month ago. Beth and I got hammered. It was more than twice what we've ever paid before. I was not happy. Because they're servants of God? Wow. Okay, Lord, you're right. I'll pay my taxes. Devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due them. Tax to whom tax. Property and income is included there scripturally. Custom to custom. That's on goods and services. Their society wasn't very much different than ours. Fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Subjection, we talked about taxes, servant of God. It's what it says. Death and taxes, scriptural. We pay them. Custom to custom. So when the state increases or when the city increases for goods and services to pay for this, that, or the other thing, subject yourselves. It's not a moral issue there. Some of the stuff they do with our taxes is a moral issue. How do we wrestle with that? Good question. Wrong sermon. Fear to whom fear. Respect the authorities. Boys and girls, on the playground. I know it's almost done. Do you respect the authority on the playground? Do the people that are in charge there and they tell you how you ought to behave, what you should and shouldn't do, and those kinds of things, do you respect the authority? When you go into your classroom and your teacher tells you not to chew gum, do you hide it underneath your tongue? Or put it on the roof of your mouth so they can't see it so you can keep chewing your gum? That's not respecting and subjecting yourselves to the authority. You're in full rebellion against Almighty God, not just some wacky rule at school. See, I'm messing with you now. It starts early, doesn't it? How many times you tell your little one, don't touch the cookie jar? What's the first thing they do? Head straight for the cookie jar. I like cookies. I'm in full rebellion against God by not listening to the authorities that he has placed over. Esteem, honor to whom honor is due. It's Memorial Day. We remember those who have sacrificed their lives, bled and died in the hundreds of thousands against an unrighteous king over 200 years ago. This country was established because it was an evil authority. But if you read the Founding Fathers' stuff, they did so because their ultimate authority was Almighty God. And when the author penned the Battle Hymn of the Republic, which we will sing, which I've heard beautifully played at least twice in the last month from our high school bands, without the words, being reminded of the words, please remember this weekend and on these days who is the ultimate source of all authority. Amen? Amen. Maybe it'll be easier next week. Would you please stand as we sing number 804?